Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News Podcast. Barry Murphy to hear from our news team. I'm joined on the line today by our beef editor Adam Woods, deputy news editor Amy Ford, our buildings reporter Martin Merrick and news correspondents Declan O'Brien and Noel Barden. Over the next 20 minutes or so, we'll discuss how factory beef prices are set to rocket and farm organisation and farmer reaction to the removal of suckler cull schemes from the Climate Action Plan. We'll also cover farmyard thefts and rural crime, the ongoing saga with Caolte's controversial deal with Gresham House, the slurry tax scheme and new TAMS and sheep scanning results. A lot in that one, so we're going to get going. First off, Adam, over to yourself. You report on page one that factory beef prices are set to rocket as demand exceeds supply. Prices have moved on since the new year to the tune of about 200 a head of an improvement on a 280kg carcass. Adam, look, how far are these prices going to go?
Yeah, I guess we've got a perfect storm at the moment, Barry, in terms of looking at supply and demand. We've got really tight supplies. We'll be forecasting, you know, a 5% drop in the first quarter of 2023, another 6% drop in the next, we'll say, 3 months up to the end of June. So that's all good for beef farmers. I guess within that, then you've really good demand. You've really good demand coming from mainland Europe. You've good demand in the UK. And obviously, you've got that announcement that China is opened up again. We know that processors are starting to kill already for that Chinese market. And there are indications that bonus could be in the region of 15 cent, possibly even 20 cent in some cases, in some processors, to meet those, we'll say, demand, we'll say, from China. There's another big bonus there for smaller finishers, because to be China eligible and for cattle to be eligible for China, they need to be coming from a herd that is free from TB for the last 12 months. A lot of the cattle slaughtered at the moment, we broke a story a couple of months ago that it was a 1 in 4 of animals at the moment are being slaughtered at a TB controlled units or feedlots. They're very large farms, probably factory aligned farms. So they won't be eligible for China, the animals that come out of those feedlots, because they're TB restricted. So that means that for smaller farmers, for smaller finishers, that bonus should definitely be available there for them. And yeah, I think beef will kick on more. Beef price will kick on. We've seen, you know, at the beginning of October, we were doing budgets and we needed €6 a kilo to break even. So while beef is good and while beef price is going to get better, it's still not maybe just where it needs to be. And it needs to get to that €6 a kilo for that winter finisher to cover feed costs. But I definitely think there's more in the market.
Yeah, it's good news for beef finishers for sure, Adam. And we mentioned this when it was announced that reopening of the Chinese market. Is that going to be the be-all and end-all now for Irish beef finishers? You know, is it really going to drive on things over the coming year?
Yeah, there's huge potential there, Barry. Like 1.4 billion consumers. Philip O'Neill has a story in the paper this week looking at, you know, in terms of the USDA forecasting what beef will be required in China this year. And he says that there's an extra 675,000 ton of beef will be required in China in 2023. Now, to put that into context, we're exporting about 500,000 as a country in total. So there's huge potential there. And look, it's not going to be maybe fillet steaks and it's not going to be strip lines. It's going to be maybe four-quarter cuts. It's going to be knuckles, it's going to be strips, you know, in terms of it's those lower value cuts and probably a little bit of offal as well. So, but again, in terms of opening up other opportunities, if it doesn't, we'll say if it goes there and other countries as well, in terms of the demand that's going to be there, it's going to open up other avenues for us in terms of other countries.
You know, it's definitely good news, Adam. But you said it yourself. Look, you know, we had that hoggish analysis in the back end of last year that beef finishers were going to need that €6 a kilo to break even. So the price is good, and look, as it's getting better, but you'd want to see it get that margin up a bit further to that €6 mark. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes, and we'll continue to cover it. And look, you've more on that on page one, and we've lots from our livestock team across our Mart reports in the Mart page of the paper, demonstrating how that factory beef price has trickled down to the sales ring. So it's all good news there on that front. And sticking with beef briefly, on page 14, Amy, you report on the farm organization reaction to last week's news that Minister McConnell Oak has taken the suckler cull schemes off the table. Look, I spoke to a few farmers myself, Amy, and to be honest, they're a bit unhappy now that they won't be getting paid for getting rid of a few older cows or cull cows. What had the farm orgs to say, though?
Yeah, Barry, for a mixed reaction, you could say, look, the IFA, ICSA and the Hill Farmers Association, they are all welcoming the news that there'll be no suckler reduction schemes or suckler cull schemes. Brendan Golden from the IFA is saying, like, it's a low margin system and people are feeling the pinch and there's an aging profile, but that the IFA are looking to support the sector and to support the suckler cow. ICSA has also tabled proposals to the Minister for Agriculture, looking for €250 million per annum, a support programme basically to help suckler farmers achieve climate targets. That includes sheep farmers in that full €250 million, but €80 million it was looking for store producers and finishers for a scheme to weigh cattle at regular intervals with a view to earlier finishing, which would also tie in with the climate targets. The Hill Farmers, look, they pulled away from the Food Vision Beef and Sheep Group. They left the group last year on the back of proposals essentially that would cull suckler cows or reduce numbers in herds. They said it would do enormous damage to the sector if it was brought in, and instead it's calling for the minister now to use the money that would have been allocated to these schemes for a new welfare type suckler scheme targeting extensive suckler systems. And I suppose the ICMSA, they've said they're disappointed with the withdrawal of the suckler reduction schemes. Their president, Pat McCormack, said he knows suckler farmers would have considered a viable and reasonably funded exit or reduction scheme for a fixed term. I think that is a fair point. It would come down to each individual farmer and what their system was like, what their, you know, succession was like, what literally is outside and inside their farm gate and how it would affect them. And I'm sure a reduction scheme would suit plenty of farmers, and an exit scheme would suit some as well. On the dairy scheme, just to touch on it, Barry, so the suckler schemes have been scrapped, but a dairy scheme is still on the table to reduce numbers. Pat McCormack there, he's calling for the minister to announce any you know, scheme basically within the next month so that farmers are informed of his intentions before the breeding season for 2024 begins. And he says there's dairy farmers waiting to make decisions about their own future and that of their families. And he's looking for, you know, a decision with details on payment rates and timeframes needed as soon as possible. So, you know, some farm organisations in the same boat and one outside of the boat essentially on it. But again, I think it would have come down to each and every individual farmer's situation.
Yeah, it suits some lads and it doesn't suit others. And I suppose it depends on where they are in their, you know, their farming career, whether they're coming to the end of it or they're a young lad getting going. But look, Tommy Miles has more. He said there on the dairy reduction scheme, and he's saying it's unlikely in the short term there on page 11. But look, we'll continue to track that one. Just sticking with yourself, Amy, you have another interesting piece there on page 8, I think it is, in relation to the Knackery story. And this is one we've had on the podcast in previous episodes. You have an update, though, for us, in that you report that the Knackeries have rolled back essentially on their threats of a cut in services. Did they get what they wanted from the department?
Yeah, Barry. So this time last week, we were potentially looking at a further curtailment in Knackery services. Monday of last week, they announced they were going to stop testing fallen sheep for scrapie and warned, as I said, of a further curtailment in services. It's a busy time of the year now, it's kicking off, and plenty of farms, or some farms are in the middle of it, as you know yourself, calving and lambing. There was a meeting last Friday between the department and the Animal Collectors Association, and they've now recommended that they temporarily suspend the reduction of services. So everything has been resumed basically on the side of the Knackeries. This has been made after what the ACA said were comprehensive negotiations between them and the department, leading to an agreed renewal of the fallen animal scheme, which is to run out on the 25th of February. It's, I suppose, a positive look that Scrapie Tested is now back on the table. There's 10,000 sheep Scrapie Tested by the Knackeries every year. It's probably smaller numbers this time of year. But it is positive that there's, you know, no threat to Knackeries pulling out of services this time of year. Negotiations are going to go on. Going to the department had a short statement there, said there's mutual commitment to progress discussions on the scheme. So we'll see where that takes in the next couple of weeks. Really, it'll be crunch time. But as you said, there's more detail and an interesting snippet on what the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission was thinking on Knackeries potentially having to provide their data to the Department of Agriculture. But as you said, you can read more on that in page 8.
Yeah, no, as you said, they're crunch time coming for those parties, but it's good to see that they're both at the table. Anyway, look, thanks for joining the podcast, Amy. We'll move on to our building reporter, Martin Merrick. Look, Martin, good to have you on the podcast. You have two very newsy bits on page 3 of this week's paper. First, you report that the accelerated capital allowance scheme for building slurry stores is to close in June. Is this news for a lot of farmers?
Yeah, Barry, there was a lot of confusion over the past week or so with the scheme. There was, at the time of its announcement, it was expected to last from 2023 right through to 2025 for 3 consecutive years. But then farmers were being informed at several Chagas events throughout the country that the scheme was actually closing on the 30th of June, which was effectively locking out any farmers who weren't already planning on doing building work. We say builders have several months of work ahead of them at all stages. So the 30th of June deadline was going to lock out a lot of farmers with it. Now, we did receive clarification from the department last night, late yesterday evening, that the scheme is expected to extend into 2025. Now, the reason for the 6 months at the start was they said that the agriculture block exemption rules weren't agreed in time for the publication of the finance bill, so the June deadline had to hold. But we're now understanding that Pascal Dunne has promised to extend it for farmers. So hopefully we will see in the coming months that June 30 deadline will extend into 2025. As regards the TAMS opening date or the TAMS replacement date, on-farm capital investment scheme is going to be the new TAMS coming forward. We were expecting a January opening date for that. It's unlikely to happen now, but the department have promised us. We had representatives at the CAP meeting we held in Ballinlea on Tuesday night, and they have targeted a first quarter opening date for that. So hopefully we're going to, no more than the accelerated capital allowance, we will be waiting to hear word back from the department on when exactly that on-farm capital investment scheme is opening up. And as well as that, we are also waiting clarification on what exactly is going to be in that scheme. We reported a couple of weeks ago or months ago that we're expecting some cow collars, some labour-saving technologies. Underpasses as well are rumoured to be a part of that new on-farm capital investment scheme. So we're just waiting to hear back clarification from the department on it. But as it stands, the accelerated capital allowance is due to be extended into 2025. So farmers can rest assured that they don't have to have the works completed by June 30th of this year.
Just that'd be welcome news for lots of lads trying to do the sums and planning on farm development and so on, Martin. So look, it's good to have those updates. Thanks for joining. And look, we'll move on to Noel Barton next, folks. Noel, you've some great reading on rural crime and farm thefts in a spread on page 16 and 17 of this week's paper. You report how a tractor and slurry tanker stolen in Kerry, they were tracked the whole way to Armagh, and a man was charged for the theft. What's the latest?
Yeah, Barry, a very big week for rural crime. So this County Kerry tractor was stolen from a contractor's yard last week, and it was a driver for the contractor who put up pictures of it on social media, on Facebook, and he contacted members of the public and asked for people to kind of keep an eye out. And the tractor was followed up through Athlone, up into Ballymahon, Edwardstown and Granard and County Longford, and then on to County Monaghan before it was recovered by the PSNI just north of the border in County Armagh. Now, the tractor has been reunited with the contractor. It is back in his yard, and the PSNI confirmed that a 30-year-old will go up before the courts later this month in relation to the theft. But it is really one of these stories that shows how important social media is for recovering these items once they are on the move. And it does show that even I suppose the tractor and the slurry tanker, they travel 350 kilometers, but it does show that once word is out and the pictures are being circulated, that they can be tracked down across the border and over that length of a distance.
Yeah, absolutely, Nolan. Yourself, myself and our colleagues, we often, or with the whole time, reporting on farm thefts, be it cattle, be it machinery, and you often don't get an update that they have been recovered. So it's really good to see that it was tracked down and it's returned to the farmer's yard. And as you said yourself, the role of social media there and putting the heat on in terms of tracking those pieces down. So it was really welcome to see that. But you also have another one there on page 17, where you report that a tractor dealer in Longford has been done for possession of stolen tractors as well. What happened with this one?
Yeah, so this would be a well enough known farm vehicle dealer from Granard County Longford, John Alex Kane. Investigations began into the case, which involved the possession of two stolen tractors and a Jeep stolen from a farm down in County Wexford. They began back in 2018, and it was the Garda's stolen motor vehicle investigation unit that played a key role in the investigations. So the two tractors had been stolen from different farms in England. One of them was stolen from a farm ran by the Donkey Sanctuary charity. And they obviously made their way over here, and Mr. Kane pleaded guilty to handling both the two tractors and the Jeep that was stolen from County Wexford from that farmer down there. He pleaded guilty to deceiving a farmer out of €25,000 in relation to one of the tractors. So there's four guilty pleas there that were all heard last week in the courthouse in Longford. There's further facts that's to come out on the case, and that is to be heard before the courts, and that'll happen later this year. So it's one to keep an eye out on, but there is four guilty pleas there, and some of our listeners may recognise the individual involved, in that he had been in court previously, where Revenue secured a €4.9 million settlement against him back in 2009. So it's a case to keep an eye on, and we'll definitely follow up on it over the coming months.
Yeah, we're going to have an update on that one for sure. And look, you were speaking to Detective Garda Eugene O'Sullivan, and I suppose while we're here and we're talking about tractor thefts and machinery thefts, you might as well cover this off. He had some good tips for farmers. What can you, I suppose, advise listeners from what he told you?
Yeah, so Detective Eugene O'Sullivan is attached to the stolen motor vehicle unit in the Guards, and he particularly looks after the farm side of things and the farm vehicle side of things. He said he kind of just warned secondhand tractor and Jeep buyers just to be a little bit cautious when buying off someone maybe that they don't know. They said to make sure that the vehicle's origin and owner is what the seller is making it out to be, to check the hours, the roadworthiness of the vehicles, to give it a bit of a test drive. And particular caution was urged for vehicles that were being imported from the UK for sale here. He said to look for a V5 logbook with these vehicles and make sure that the last owner's details match up with the seller. So I suppose there is, as we covered off this week, there is quite a few farm vehicles going missing. So something that we don't want to see is an innocent farmer on the other side maybe buying these vehicles and ending up in a bit of bother then when they are recovered. It is another side to these thefts that maybe people should be aware of.
Yeah, no, it's good information for farmers to have and those living in rural places. And look, our colleague Rachel Donovan kind of well there in her piece on the same page, is that, you know, farm theft has gone off the Richter scale. So look, we'll continue to report on that one. But before we let you go, Noel, we covered off beef at the top of the podcast, but just to come to sheep briefly, you have a nice piece of information there, a nice article on page 13 on sheep scanners reporting smaller lamb crops. Look, we're nearly finished lambing at home at the moment. There's only a couple left, but I think you have to get going in a few weeks. What are the scanners saying?
Yeah, so we chatted to a fair few scanners now this week from around the country, and generally what they're saying is that the number of doubles is down, but empties are down too. So overall, they're expecting a slightly smaller lamb crop, but nothing too major. Now, they have said there is some variability in that, and there is a fair difference to be seen in yoke condition from different farms, even in the same area that would have got the same kind of weather, or that it'd be on the same land type. And they're putting this down to kind of the differences in fertilizer use and farm stocking rates. So where farmers might have pulled back, who might be heavy enough stocked, where they might have pulled back on fertilizer a little bit towards the end of the year, yoes might be back in condition and litter sizes are back on last year. But overall, it seems to be a fairly okay year. Nothing exceptional, but probably back a little bit.
Yeah, no, those trends go up and down. And I saw sheep editor Darren Carty had a bit of analysis on the Tullamore flock there, our Tullamore flock recently, on how the scanner results haven't gone. I think it was 2 years ago, they really dropped. They're starting to recover, or they're still recovering anyway. So that's good to see, and plenty of reading on that one in the paper. But look, thanks, Noel, for joining. We'll move on to Declan O'Brien for the final piece here. And look, you report on page 12 on the ongoing saga over Caolte's now controversial deal with the UK investment firm Gresham House. You've been speaking to both parties, Declan, and they're claiming Gresham House will not pay over the top for forestry land. Look, this has been in the media, the national media, all this week, and there were statements in again yesterday from Sinn Féin and Macra saying that it's going to stop generational renewal, and Sinn Féin calling on government to just put an end to this deal altogether. Where is it going to end up?
That is the million-dollar question, really. I think what became clear this week is that that Gresham House and both Caolte have taken issue with the way in which this deal is being portrayed. They're saying that they are not they will not be effectively dominating the land market, that they're only buying, Gresham House pointed out that they will be buying about 700 hectares per year for the next 5 years. They're saying they're not going to pay crazy money for the purchases. They say they're going to be a very disciplined buyer, and that they have to give a return for their investors. What they're also pointing out is that if the investment has to make money, then the first day outlay on land is essential. And they're saying that they will not be in a position to pay above the odds for any ground that they are buying. Now, this is not a laid the fields of the political fields, or the fields of the political parties or the farm organisations, who say, well, they're going to be working at scale. They're going to have the efficiencies of scale. It doesn't matter if they're just buying 700 hectares. If they come down and they're buying next door to Joe Bloggs is still going to be put out of the market, because he's not going to be able to buy that particular parcel of land. It's interesting to see what both the Tánaiste and what Minister Eamon Ryan have said, whereby they're saying that land will have to be kept in public ownership, but that's going to need some significant rule change. By that comment, are they saying that they're going to go back paying Caolte directly, or allowing Caolte to directly claim these grants and premia? If that's going to be the case, that's going to require a rule change at EU level, which is unlikely. At the same time, they've got the pressure of the climate change agenda and the need to get up to 8,000 hectares planted a year. So they're caught between a rock and a hard place, the government here, really. And I suppose what the farm orgs are saying is, get the department in line, get your licensing process in line, and you would have got the level of private planting from farmers and others from within the country. And they're saying, without that being sorted, you are going to have a situation where you've got too little ground being planted overall. So this one is going to run and run, and I think it's going to become a hot issue locally, as we said in last week's podcast, when it comes down to a purchase of land in a local area. That is when it's going to, when the rubber is going to hit the road for local communities.
Yeah, very much so. I think, you know, a lot of lads, while they're aware of it, they'll really, I suppose, get riled up about it when they see a group like Gresham House coming in to outbid them for a bit of local land, Deck. And I suppose this one has kind of moved into the national media sphere here as well, you know, and it's causing major issues for Caolte. Is it the minister's responsibility, or, you know, who is it going to fall back on? Does he need to be stronger here in terms of, you know, making a call on this one?
Well, I think the minister, both ministers, have ducked and dived on this one. But Caolte are fairly adamant that they were fully briefed on this all along. They were fully briefed on Caolte's plans and the mechanisms they were putting in place to plant 100,000 hectares by 2050. So they can claim that they were in the dark on this. I think what everybody was naive that this wasn't going to cause a furore. And I think there was that naivety was born out of a desperation to get forestry planted and to get big volumes of forestry planted relatively quickly. And I think it is those two arms working against one another that is causing the problem. The need to get afforestation up and going at pace and at scale, up against the requirement to not to allow whole or vast areas of land go into international ownership. And I think it's a function also of the pressure that's on the land market. There are so many competing needs for land at the moment. The land market is so hot, and this is just adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah, you said it yourself, Deck, fuel to the fire. And Sinn Féin were in with a statement yesterday, kind of, you know, McCarthy TD, their agricultural spokesperson, saying it is a symptom or an outcome of this government failure on afforestation. So look, it's one we're going to continue to cover anyway, from both Gresham House, Caolte. And I understand, look, there's a meeting to be held in the coming weeks. Their Office Agricultural Committee is pulling in Minister McConlogue and Caolte to talk about this, so I'm sure we'll have further updates in future podcasts. But look, lots more in this week's paper, folks, including an update that farmers are to get word on their acres applications in early February. We also have farmer news and views from our CAP information event in Ballina, County Mayo this week, a full spread on that one on page 4. More on those and all discussed by the team today in this week's paper, available in shops across the country now. A special thanks to Jerome Dunn and Claire Nash from our team for the editing of this podcast. They always do a great job. And thanks for joining and for listening. Safe calving and lambing, and talk to you the next time.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.